donate, and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. People keep wanting the address of our church, folks. Doers of the Word Baptist Church, we are an actual New Testament church. We are not a 501c3 corporation, are we, Richard?
No, sir.
Okay, and so we're an actual New Testament church, and we're located at 14781 Sperry Road. That's Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. It's right at the corner of Route 87 and Sperry Road, right under that 800-foot tower. Now, we start Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with praise and worship, 9:30, in-depth Bible study. And then this Sunday at about 5 o'clock, we'll be showing a film. It'll be about a 40-minute. Now, this is current events. These are things that you're not supposed to know. These are things that the fake news media will try to keep from you. And then sometimes you'll hear portions of this on Fox News or on some of the other outlets, but usually it's way after, you know, we bring it out there to you. But anyhow, that'll be at 5 o'clock, and then at 6 o'clock, well, I missed the morning service. The morning service starts at 11:15, yeah. All right, there you go, 11:15 for the morning service. And then usually Pastor Hal or a guest preacher will be preaching the evening service. So there you go. And then, of course, at 9 p.m. on Sunday nights, then you get the entire message of that day. So there you go. Now, we're going over to Tony Chaffee. Tony Chaffee, you spent 25 years in prison for crimes that never committed, that never happened. Tell us again, tell the folks again how that all took part.
Well, go back all the way back to 95. Well, really go back to 1988 when I got my divorce from my ex-wife. And since I got divorced from my ex-wife, I started fighting for custody of my son and visitation. And every time I found out where my ex-wife moved, she would move again. She just kept moving and moving and moving, hoping that I would give up for fighting, but I never did. And without my knowledge, she was going from 1988 all the way to 96, making allegations that I have molested and raped my sons, which I had no knowledge of. So she went directly to the prosecutor's office in Trumbull County and made the allegations there, and they indicted me. Well, while I was going through this process here, my sons was going through counseling. They went through many counselings in different counties. Mahoney County Children's Service Board, they investigated it back in 91, which I have the report, and said there was no findings. I got a report from Bailey Counseling, also in Belmont Avenue, in Liberty Township, saying there was nothing in the files to corroborate or even substantiate these allegations. See, all this stuff I never knew until after I went to prison. All this stuff was kept away from me by my attorney, Tom Zena from Youngstown. And I was kind of ignorant to the law and the process, how things work in the system. But like I said, there was a lot of things that I didn't know. And after I went to prison, I started digging into this. I knew I'd never commit this crime. I told the prosecutor that. I told my attorney that. I even told the judge that. It didn't matter. I was guilty. I was guilty from the day I got indicted in Trumbull County. It's about conviction in Trumbull County. It always has been.
Did you have a jury trial?
No, I did not. My lawyer coerced me into a plea saying that I was going to get 3 life sentences. And he lied to me and said, if I take the 10 to 25, I'll be out in 4 years with good behavior. So the way I was thinking, which it was wrong, that if I do 4 years, I get out and I can fight this. Come to find out that I was going to do every bit of 25 years dealing with the parole board. I didn't even know nothing about a parole board. Didn't even know a parole board existed until I went to prison, until I found out how corrupt they were. So I had everything against me. So I had to discipline myself. I had to learn the law. I had to study the law. I had to get every document I can find in my case and research it and dissect it. And exactly what I did. My cases are very complex, but I know it like a map.
So I remember going back, and it's been a while back, but you were accused of molesting your 2 sons. And now they had one of them I remember talking to, and they had said that you weren't ever there.
That's correct.
That you were not even ever there. The reason was their mother told them that either either you had to go to jail or she had to go to jail.
That's correct.
And they would be without, and so they decided that they had to stay with their mother. This is what the one told me.
That's correct.
But from what I understand, that that they had signed at least one of them a sworn affidavit.
Yes, that's correct. Never... Well, I was in prison, yes.
Okay, did both of them do a sworn affidavit?
No, my older son did, and he signed an affidavit. Then he signed another affidavit saying that he support the first affidavit.
Okay.
And for some reason, Attorney Bob Lynch was going to do a deposition because there's a lot of inconsistencies in their statement. There's a consistency in the prosecutors, what was supposed to happen. I mean, there's so much untold stories that need to be told in this case here. And this is one reason why I'm here.
All right. So, yeah. And you were, even way back then, you talked about when you got out, you were not going to let them get away with this.
I'll fight this until I die.
Okay. Now, when this happened, the judge there in Warren.
Judge Stewart. John Stewart.
Right. I went down to see him. And what happened when I walked in there, and I said, I'd like to talk to the judge. You would have thought that I was carrying a rocket launcher or something. It was like they went into a panic. And when I went to walk in to it, they stood in front of me so that I could not go to see this judge. And I'm a pastor. I'm not a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
I just came here to talk to him. You know, what's the panic all about, okay? You know, things like this happen when they're trying to hide the truth, huh? Mm-hmm.
There is so much corruption in Troma County court system. It's a one-sided coin there. It's very corrupt. And I'm calling out the prosecutor in Troma County, Dennis Watkins. Prove me wrong that I committed these crimes. Prove me wrong that I didn't commit these crimes. He's a very corrupt prosecutor, and I stand behind that.
Well, you know, we have seen the corrupt, I call them prostitutors nowadays.
Right.
They used to be prosecutors. And well, you remember, Richard, where they had decided they were going to do to me what they did to you.
Yeah, that's right.
And so what happened was I got tipped off, you know, that by a lawyer that he had was in a meeting when he had overheard them talking,
mm-hmm.
that they were going to come and get the preacher, and they were going to charge him with anti-government activities. And like they did with Williams, okay, I remember, and I'm having a little bit of a senior moment, the Williams, the fellow that used to attend our church, him and his wife, back years ago, it was a black man, younger than everybody's younger than you and I.
that's true. Yeah. Just about.
Yeah. But anyhow, that's what they did to him. So they were going to do that to me. They were going to come at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, take your computers, shut down your bank accounts so you couldn't defend yourself. That was the idea. And mm-hmm. But I got tipped off. And so what I did is I gathered a dozen men together, and I went down to confront the judge. And Judge Marcus, and the prosecutor Dan, I'm trying to remember his last name. It was a Greek name, okay.
Yeah, right.
And I caught him off guard, and they had to admit they were charging me with anti-government activity because we had the right way law classes, you know, at the church. And then they said that I had. Jack Smith on my program, who was one of the Right Way Law teacher. I said, yeah. And they said, you're selling his tapes. I said, no, we don't sell anything. We've never sold anything. We've had over these almost 50 years now, we have things we give offerings, and when people at times cannot afford one, we give it to them for free. We don't charge. And so I said, we don't sell anything. We give it for a free will offering. And they said, well, you've had him on the radio. And I said, yeah. I've had Supreme Court justice. I have presidential candidates. I've had senators, congressmen, judges, and even prosecutors. Now, am I guilty, okay, by association with all the people I've had on the programs over the years? And he said, well, he says, you're a part of the redemption movement. And I says, is that John 3:16? He says, I don't know what that is. I said, that's the only redemption movement I'm a part of. And And so the judge called him over and he said, "You idiot, how did you let this happen?" And he said, "I'm going to suggest, Your Honor, that we drop the charges." Okay, because they didn't know who those other men were. They had no idea who those other men were that were with me, okay? And they could have been people, maybe feds or something, looking to it for an investigation. So that's why they dropped the charges on me, okay? So, but see, this is there's so many innocent people in prison in this United States, so many innocent people. And most people are clueless, huh?
Very much so.
And they don't know until it happens to you, right?
Exactly right.
And
you know, that's the thing with, like, capital punishment. The Bible teaches capital punishment, and but the system is so corrupt that you can't even support it, because you don't even know if that person really did what they're saying they did, or what the circumstances were. So, you know, these courts bend everything so much that there's no way to even know what's the truth.
Well, you're guilty as soon as you're charged.
Right.
In Ohio. You're guilty. The only thing's left is for you to take a plea, sentence you, and send you to prison. The only thing left. There's no such thing as a trial or investigation in your case. Find out the truth. There's no such thing in Ohio no more. Not that I experience.
Well, I've known of innocent men that have been executed over the years because, well, you see, somebody committed a murder, and that person might have been very, very wealthy. And they knew who it is they had to pay to make sure that the investigation was stopped with whoever it is they charged. That happens. That happens out there. Mm-hmm. And it's our job. Now, and there's other things, too. A lot of times there's things like Satanism, and I know of cases where there's Satanism involved in that. And what happens is they have to stop the investigation. And the one office that Satan has covered, they covet that office more than any other, is that of prosecutor, because most of those prosecutors will end up being judges someday.
Correct.
And that's why they covet that office. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that decide how a case is going to be tried, and they don't want to try it as Satanism. And that's what happens. And that's why so many children are killed and murdered and sacrificed, and they get away with it. Okay. Mm. And that's why we're here, to be the salt and light, to tell people what it's really like out there. And so now, one of the reasons, Tony, that I said that about if I were the king with that parole board is there's a lot of men on that parole that should have been out of prison years and years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Many of them should have been out of prison years ago. But once those old law, and we're talking about old law, that's why you spent so many years, you were old law.
I was old law, right.
That was before what, 1996?
96.
All the inmates that were convicted before 96 were under the old law.
Exactly.
And once they were out, then the parole board didn't have authority over the other ones.
Exactly, because that's new law. Senate Bill 2.
Yeah, because they got flat time.
Exactly.
And so in order to keep them in their cushy $70,000 a year jobs, they had to keep the old timers in prison.
Keep flopping them. Finding reasons to keep flopping them.
Reasons over and over.
Yep.
And remember Big Joe?
Big Joe.
Big Joe. I was there at his trial when they sentenced him to 8 years. And then 16 years later, he's still in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a mysterious thing because apparently the deal that was cut with the feds, the CIA and that, was that he would get out in 8 years if he was to plead this. He was a throwaway. Joe was a throwaway. He was working with the deep state, and what he was doing is he was actually hauling drugs in down into Nicaragua. No, he was hauling guns into Nicaragua and drugs out. And when they were finished with him, then of course they had to get rid of him. So he was a throwaway. And anyhow, but supposedly the reason that that agreement that they made with him for the 8 years was destroyed because there was a flood at the courthouse there in Chardon. Well, the interesting thing is Chardon's the highest place in the entire county. If they were to have a flood there, the entire county would be underwater.
Well, that's what they said in Trumbull County when I asked for records. They said they had a flood in their basement.
Yeah.
Exactly what they told me.
Yeah, that's it's one of the that happens so often, right? Yeah,
it's a common practice.
And so anyhow, like I said, so you were all of those years you were down, and you tried everything. I'll say one thing for you, boy, he was persistent, wasn't he, Richard?
I even written the FBI in my case. I written all the TV stations, newspapers, anybody that will listen to me. I will talk about it.
And they tried to shut you up many times.
Many times they tried, and I just can't do it.
And I wondered, I expected them to charge you with paper terrorism.
Well, they could have. I've done enough of it.
Yeah. Or you just kept persistent. So what was it that made you decide to be so relentless? A lot of guys would have just given up.
The truth. That's all I want is the truth.
Well, there's a lot of innocent people in prison that have the truth, but they weren't as persistent and a constant as you were.
Well, the truth in me is priceless.
You were at the point where you could never talk about anything but your case.
That is correct.
I would come in there and to bring you the Bible,
that's
and
correct.
You'd want to talk about your case.
That's okay? Correct.
But
you can even ask Rich Luce about it.
Yeah, I know Richard.
We got him into the Bible a little bit, but
yeah,
it was hard to get him off the case, that's for sure.
So tell us, pick it up from where you left off.
About the parole board?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very, they're one-sided. I mean, no matter what your behavior is, how good you are in prison, like me, 25 years, I've never been in segregation. I had no write-ups. I completed over 60 programs. My institution was spotless. And every time I went up, they said I'm not suitable for police. I haven't took responsibility. I keep telling them, I said, "What? Take responsibility for what? For crimes I never committed?" I asked them for an independent investigation, which they had the authority to do. I sent thousands and thousands of records to them, certified mail. I written the FBI in my case. I written many people. I have nothing to hide, but I have a lot to gain. My case file is open to anybody who wants to look at it.
We had another inmate, and he was accused of a rape,
mm-hmm.
and he stood his ground and said, no, that never happened, that never took place. And every year he'd go up for it and they would flop him, he'd get another. So
that's what they did with me.
And they told him this last time, they said, look, if you'll just admit to this, you'll walk out of here today. You can walk out.
Yep.
He said, I'm not going to admit to it, okay? And because they knew that he could have a big lawsuit against
right.
the system.
And exactly what me, I never in 25 years admitted, not one time.
Well, this woman finally admitted, they caught her,
mm-hmm.
and she admitted that she had lied. They had gotten into where they kept all the proof, mm-hmm. all of the things that right. they had in the property and lab, and they found out that the blood on the bottle opener was actually Coke. The blood on some of the towels and that was ketchup. It was not. They took it. He got the stuff. And so she admitted that she lied. And so now he had a lawsuit. And he did sue. And he did win quite a bit. He did sue. But unfortunately, in prison, he became ill and died. You know, after he got out, it wasn't long that he died. But there are so many cases that you never hear about.
Exactly.
And that's what, you know, Richard, you said about capital punishment. Well, we get that, okay, in verses 5 through 7 during the Noahic Covenant. That's where mm-hmm. God gave us the institution of capital punishment, okay, statutory. And so here, the statute of the capital punishment. But you're right. The Bible says that in order for you to enact the death penalty, you have to be a legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that we have We don't have a legitimate. It's gotten so bad. It's been so corrupted. We don't have a legitimate judicial system.
Right.
So whenever you have them today in our system, when they hand down the death penalty, you simply have one criminal punishing another.
Mm-hmm.
That's where our system's at today. You know, they tell you, you know, that you can never get help if you're an alcoholic until you admit you're an alcoholic, or if you're a drug addict until you admit that you're a drug addict. Until we can get our corrupt judicial system to admit that it's totally corrupted, I don't think we can ever get it changed. And we have to get our, you know, that's why we're looking for the Lord to come back. Lord, he's got to fix it once and for all. When he comes back, it'll be done right. And but anyhow, they don't like people like us talking about this, do they?
No, they do not.
Okay. So right now, what are your plans from here on out as far as
you? Keep fighting for the truth.
And what are you planning? How are you going to do that?
Well, start knocking on doors, start going to lawyers' offices to see if they – what I'm needed is a good investigator to investigate my case, go knock on doors, get statements. I need to get my accusers in court because there are so much inconsistencies in their statement, which I can point to the investigator or a lawyer. I see the problem is I don't have money to pay for justice. In Ohio, you got to have money to get justice. If you have no money – you get no justice. That's Ohio. That's how it works.
Well, that's unfortunately. Yeah, we get the best justice we can that you can afford, right?
It's nothing about the truth in Ohio.
All righty. What we're going to do is we're going to open the phone lines and take some calls. So the phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. Craig's been in there snacking. I mean, he's just been loafing. We're going to make him work now, okay? 888-677-9673. And so if you're out there listening to us, no matter what state you're listening in, and you have a story to tell, now's the time to do it because everybody will hear it, huh? So again, 888-677-9673. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. And, you know, we have right now tonight a lot of people that are in prison listening to this radio program, because I get letters from them. Now they've come up with some new thing. You know, it used to be you could just send them a letter, but now the letters come back. You got to go on the internet, and you got to contact this thing, and then get permission to write a letter to the inmate.
Mm-hmm.
It's more and more of a police state.
Wow.
It's becoming a real crackdown police state. Okay, which is really bad. Mm-hmm. So. Anyhow, folks, we got to stand and we got to fight. We got to take our country back. We've got to take our country back.
Well, Tony, when we wrote down, you were talking about some things you were going to do, like picketing some places and that.
I want to picket in front of the Trumbull County Courthouse. I just want the truth. That's all I want. And once I get the truth, you'll never hear from me again. Okay. I mean, I've been fighting for 25 years for the truth. There's so much wrong in my case, and I never had the right person in my case to really dissect my case, to bring out the truth, a voice, someone who has the authority, someone who has the power for people to listen here.
And who knows? Maybe somebody's listening now that might be able to give you that kind of
lawyer, direction. A good private investigator,
yeah.
You know, I got a lot of it. I got a lot of it done. I mean, I 25 years, I went through line by line, and I found so much wrong, so much inconsistencies, contradict statements. Prosecutor says one thing. The accuser says something else. The dates don't match. The prosecutor said it happened this date. They say it happened this date. There's so much wrong.
What about the case we were talking about coming in when you said that the paperwork was written up?
Right, yeah, the police report from the Gerard Police Department of my ex-girlfriend, her name is Sheila, they wrote the police report before the crime was supposed to have happened. The way the police report is written, they wrote the police report, and I think it was like 20-some hours later, the crime was supposed to happen. The police report is not signed.
I'm going to go ahead and take some calls. Can we take Craig in there. Can we take Timothy? He's all the phone lines. Look at that. The borehole board's lighting up, and I don't think he can hear me. He's on the phone with. So let's go to. Go to Timothy. Bring Timothy up. Yeah.
Good evening, all.
Good evening.
The two gentlemen that have endured the hardship, my heart goes out to you. I want to plead Psalm 3 over both of your lives, past, present, and future, that the Lord is he's the end-all and be-all. He's the Alpha and Omega, so he knew this before it happened. He was mm-hmm. with you during it happening, and he's going to be through you through the vindication and any reckoning or redemption that's going to happen in the future. Mm. Praise God.
Thank you very much.
Psalm 3, the reason I was reading over Psalm 3 as I was listening for the last hour and an hour and a half
mm-hmm.
is I've been through similar trials in my life,
mm-hmm.
and always came out the other end because of the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord.
And in Michael W. Smith's song, Surrounded, it may feel like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded in you.
There you go.
And every time I read Psalm 3, that just hits it home even more. And I was listening to, as I do on every Tuesday, I try to catch it no matter where I'm at. God bless Bruce Musselman. He's in a special place in heaven. And every time I listen to him on Thursday for that, albeit only 30 minutes between 2 and 2:30, and it's a crime that they can't give him more than 30 minutes with all the knowledge he has
mm-hmm.
of the King James Bible, the only inherent word of God we have. And he was talking today about some verses as well.
Well, Timothy, do you know that Bruce passed away a couple years ago?
Yes, I do. I keep listening to him because Bruce has given us the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, he and I were friends for about 50 years.
God bless that man. You were talking last night about the Bible Answer Book. Hank Hanegraaff, who's still alive, online it shows he's 72 years old and still alive and well. The Bible Answer Book was originally Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, this is not the Bible. This is a different book.
The other one you were talking about, a different one?
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, it's...
Personally, but he's been spoken of very highly, you know, over the years, and R.C. Sproul's and, you know, various other ones that obviously they love the Lord, and God knows their heart. I don't need to know their heart. I just
mm-hmm.
I will listen to anything that lines up with the King James Bible. Other than that, I'll pray for those that spew things that don't line up with the
there.
King James
mm-hmm.
Bible. That's
right.
That's all I can do. I listen to things that affirm and add to what I already know. If they subtract, then you have empathy, and you're not to be a part of it.
All right. Thanks, Timothy.
Thanks a lot.
I got to move on. The whole board's lit up.
God bless all of you and have safe travels.
Thank you very much.
Right. God bless. All right, let's go to, first we're going to go to Cliff next. Cliff, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question, but just a comment on the abortion thing. You know, if you look at that, here in New York, they go past 9 months. It's after you're born, they can take the infant in and, you know, do whatever they do with it.
It's about as wicked and evil. Killing that child any time, but when I watched that that New York legislature where they cheered when they found out they could kill the baby after it's born, you know, that's where we prayed in precatory prayers that God would bring that entire assembly down. You talk about wickedness, and Cuomo, you know, look, Mr. Cuomo is not going to get away. He thought he got away with killing the elderly and being bloodthirsty for the unborn. But you're not going to get away with it. God is watching. And so, yeah, I know what you mean in New York.
Yeah. So the argument was never about 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. You know, they stepped all over their original argument. You know, it was never about that. So, but my question would be, with the corruption, you know, if you look at, like, for example, O.J. Simpson, he was probably
mm-hmm.
guilty. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, he got, you know, just like an all-star, you know, team of people.
Right.
Because he was wealthy and prominent. But what incentivizes the corruption you saw in these cases with the lawyers, the prosecutors, What is incentivizing them not to be, accurate, true, or whatever? It doesn't seem like there's enough money to be corrupt. Like, it's not like personal injury law where people get a third or whatever so they can exaggerate the case. Like, what's driving the corruption, either in the prison guards that might be smuggling drugs? Is it just partly for jollies, like it says in Proverbs?
No, well, first of all, it's sin. Number one, it's sin. Two, there are people out there that feel that they're above the law. I'll give you an example, Hillary Clinton. I remember watching Hillary Clinton. She got a guy off who raped a little 9-year-old girl, raped her and abused her terribly. And afterwards, Hillary was talking about, and Hillary said, she was laughing. She said, he was as guilty as hell, but I got him off, okay? I remember some other cases. I remember hearing the prosecutor and the defense attorney. There was a case on a fellow who never should have been there. He was self-defense. A guy weighed about 160 pounds. Another fellow weighed 260 pounds, got him from behind, was on top of him, choking him. And we got witnesses to this. And the fellow that was on the bottom, the guy's name was Danny, the small guy, he managed to get a fishing knife out of his pocket and up under his arm. He kept jabbing because this guy was on top of him and choking him to get this guy off him. And he was about to pass out. And just one jab, he managed to hit the guy in the heart. Well, he got charged with murder, okay? But then they reduced it to, what it was, not second degree, but involuntary manslaughter.
Manslaughter.
Whatever.
Manslaughter.
But it had nothing to do with it. But I followed, when we left the courtroom, I was walking out, and this man's wife was with me, and the two lawyers were in front of us. And the defense attorney said to him, he was innocent and you know it. And the prosecutor says, sure he is, but, a win's a win.
That's exactly what it's about.
We're going to a break.
It's like
we'll be
sporting. It's like a sport.
Exactly.
It's like you think you're a great basketball player, so you want to win.
It's about winning, right?
Yep, it's about winning. We're going to a break. We'll be back after this. Sandra, you're next. Be right back with more.
Exactly what it is.
Read his word. Heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he comes in the clouds, each and every knee shall bow, every ear shall hear him, every eye shall see. Son of man be. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returned.
Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in His wings. Create up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of lords and King of kings and Lord of lords and King of kings and Lord of lords and King of kings.
All righty, we are back, and let's go out to Sandra. Bring Sandra up. Sandra in the Bronx, you're in the air.
Good night, Pastor. I listen to you every night, and the information that you give about the corona and the doctors that did come on and talked about it, because I had got sick December 25th. I had my mask on, and I still end up with it. You know, out there feeding the homeless and the community. Somebody had it in the air or was breathing often, and I had to get it like that, you know, through somebody else.
Well, you know, Sandra, those masks are absolutely worthless where it comes to stopping the virus. You know, it used to be because we had some boxes. We had a doctor who was a part of our church, and he passed away. And he left everything to the church. He left everything. So, I mean, boy, did he have a lot to leave. And so in there he had boxes and boxes of the surgical masks. So I went and I pulled them out. And it said on the box, right on the box, it tells you these will not stop any virus, okay? It will not stop the transmission of any virus. But they did say they were good to up to 5 splashes of blood, okay?
Right, but that's not what, yeah. They don't wear them to stop viruses and bacteria in the hospital. Anything that would do that, you wouldn't be able to suck enough air through to breathe. And that's important to remember. And Pastor hit the nail on the head. They wear them like in surgery for splashes of blood and for what you'd call, I guess, gross particulate matter. But trying to stop it, you know, to think that, like, any of that stuff is stopping a virus or bacteria. Like I said, nothing that would stop that you'd be able to breathe through. It's like trying to stop a river with a chain link fence. Like, you're not going to be very effective doing that. And just remember that in the hospitals, that's not why they wear them. They don't wear them for bacteria and viruses because they know better. And if you look on the box, no manufacturer makes a claim that it does that.
It's about control. It's all about control. That's what it's about, to get you to submit. And that's what. So those masks don't do anything where it comes. They do a lot of damage.
If I could smell cigarettes through it, it's no good. Okay, God bless you.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, there you go. All right, phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. She said there was a prayer request, but I never got her prayer request. You know what it was? All right, let's pray for her. What was her name?
Sandra.
Sandra. Sandra had initially, she sounded like she's an elderly lady. Let's hold her up. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to hold Sandra up. She had called in actually for prayer, and so we just would ask, Lord, that you would touch Sandra, Lord, and that she might receive a healing. Now, Lord, we don't know Sandra, so if she's not saved, first we would always ask, Lord, for salvation and then a healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, there you go. All right, the phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. We got time to take a few more calls tonight. And so here, Richard, you're here to tell your story. It was a tough time for you. You're away from your missus, and she was not healthy all the time, But we praise the good Lord that you're back now and you're still fighting a good fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And getting this, I work the ministry a little bit where I can and when I have the time. So I do what I can for the Lord every day. And, you know, I just have to tighten the fences at home and take care of things at home. So.
Well, you just got to keep an eye on things. Well, and that's, you know, first comes the Lord, your God, and then your family, and then your country. Okay, we often hear God and country, but the family comes next, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to Cheryl in New York. Cheryl, you're in the air. He's on the other line. Let's go bring up. Okay, he's talking. Folks, yeah, what's happening? He's trying to answer the phone, and people want to engage him in these long conversations there. So he can't hear me, can he? Go ahead and pick up Cheryl. Go ahead and pick up Cheryl. Bring up Cheryl. Okay, there. Cheryl, you're in the air.
Hello?
Yeah, boy, I had a hard time getting you in here. All righty.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, this is Carol.
Oh. Carol. Well, turn off that radio.
You can hear my radio? Okay, let me turn it.
Yeah. I hear myself. I sound horrible.
How about now?
Yes.
Now it's a whole lot better. I can hear you without the squelch.
All right. Okay, yes. I would just like some prayer because I've been just, you know, challenges and financial constraints. So I would like some prayer.
All right. I'm going to have Randy go ahead and pray
now,
for you.
You said some challenges. You said some financial. You want me to pray for that? No, here, let's do this. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the privilege of praying for our sister Carol in New York. And we pray, dear Lord, we want to lift her up to you that you said the silver and the gold is mine. I ask that you might open up the windows of heaven for her financially, that you might govern, guard, and guide her, and that she might be your voice, your vehicle, and your vessel in life. And I pray, dear Lord, that you might make her as wealthy on this earth as she is in the heavenlies, letting her know who she is in you, a daughter, what she has in you, all things that pertain to life and godliness, and where she is seated in the heavenlies, walking on the earth. And I pray, dear Lord, that she might see the manifestation of this blessing and these things on the earth. Please also grant her health and, above all, salvation, oneness with you and your Son, Jesus Christ. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right.
Thank
you. That is Randy. Cheryl, let me ask, or Carol. Do you you do know the Lord as your personal Savior? Am I right?
Oh yes.
Okay. Do you get our newsletter?
Yes.
Good.
Is this the Carol I talk to? I think I usually talk to you when you call in.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I thought. Okay. Well, then be blessed. No stress. And we lifted you up. And of course, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears. And if He hears, we have the petition. So you got it. If you're a daughter in Christ, and it's nice to talk to you again. Be blessed.
All right. Thanks for calling. Okay, there you go. Thanks for calling. There you go. I know you. Oh, you have a lot of people there. Well, they're supposed to be talking to us, not you.
Oh,
folks, it's a weird night tonight. There's something out there. It's not a full moon, though, is it? Though, but anyhow, it's a cold and snowy. Boy, have we had the snow lately?
Yeah.
And we've had the cold too.
Yeah,
single digits. It's been single digits.
Boy, you're telling me it has been cold. It's cold out there today, and I've been sliding off the road. Right?
Yeah, heard about that accident. Yeah,
I guess while we got the glitch, I'm going to recite my poem. He wasn't much for sitting about, it wasn't his desire. While others worked to build the church, he was sitting by the fire. Same old story every day, he never seemed to tire. While others worked to build the church, he was sitting by the fire. At last he died, as all must do. They say he went up higher. But if he's doing what he used to do, he's sitting by the fire.
All right, there you go. You know, for such a time as this, Randy's waited his whole life to do that. He finally got it done. Wait a minute. I think we're gonna bring in a caller now. Someone who got tired of talking to Craig. Gerald in Texas, you're in the air.
Hello, Ernie. Pastor Ernie.
Hello, how are you?
I need prayer for finances.
All righty.
I haven't been able to pay tithes since December of last year.
Oh. But you know the Lord is your Savior, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. All right, Richard, would you like to pray for him? His name is can you hear him?
I couldn't hear him.
Gerald.
Okay.
Daryl?
Okay. Gerald. It's Gerald in Texas. Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Now he needs some finance. He's in financial help.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before thy throne for Gerald, and we just ask Heavenly Father that you would strengthen him in this plight that he's in, and Lord, provide for him. Give him the funds that he needs, Lord, if you would. And we ask for you to continually show him your precious word and show him your glory in all things. And please give him that increase that he needs. It's so difficult when you're struggling financially, and it's so difficult when you don't know when the next moment is that you'll have anything to show for it. So we just would ask Heavenly Father that you would bless him with some financial gain, and to be able to bless him most of all with your glory and your salvation. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
You know, Gerald, it's been my experience that when you say you haven't been able to tithe, you know, even if you're down to your last dollar, if it means you'll have something to eat or you won't. God is always faithful, and God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need one bit of it, but He wants your faith. You need to show Him that you believe. And so, even if sometimes if you're down to $1, God will give you a way. He'll show you the way. And that's what, but give it, you know, and what I do is we like to give it directly to the people that need it. We don't give it to these prosperity ministers and all of that. We give it directly right to the people because that's the way God's Word, the Bible, tells us to do it, huh?
Absolutely.
All right. Amen. All righty. Well, thanks, Gerald. Let's go to Glenn in Cleveland. Glenn, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi, Pastor and guests. I was wondering what you thought about, it's like on one part of the world, you've got Russia, you know, they're threatening to invade Ukraine. Then in the other part of the world, China's been chirping about invading Taiwan for a while. And, you know, I can't see those, you know, these kind of nefarious empires colluding together because they'd stab each other in the back. But if they did, and they pulled off these invasions that in unison, that could put us in a very hard place. And also, too, I don't know, you probably know this, what part of the Bible this comes from, because I kind of forgot. But I know it's from scriptures. It always talked about how Damascus is destroyed. And now, if you remember in the Iraq War, they couldn't find WMD, but, you know, it was reported on several outlets. I think Bachelor in New York reported it, that a convoy took the WMD and, you know, common passenger vehicles out of the country. Now, I'm thinking, I don't know if the Lord put this in my mind, but everybody's looking at the other countries, but keep your eyes on Iran, because that's where, you know, I think part of
Damascus is in Syria. Iran is Persia. But what's happening here, it does tell you in four different places there in the scripture. Now, Damascus is the oldest continually active city in the world. They're the oldest. Now, They've been partially destroyed, two-thirds of the city have been gone, but there's still always kept a remnant of the city always existed. And you'll see that, but the scripture tells you that when that happens there, that a lot of the young men will get saved. There'll be a conversion to the Lord Jesus. And so we're seeing a lot of these things happening, but don't worry, because I've got it on very good information that God's on the throne. He's in complete control. And if you want to know how this all plays out, there's from Genesis to Revelation. But I would go to Ezekiel 36, 37, 38. It tells you a lot. And then also in Daniel chapter 8, it tells you a lot. And so it's all there. It's going to play out exactly the way the Word of God says it would. Okay? And then if you you go over to Revelation chapter 18 would be a good place to look, 18 and 19. So there's where you're going to have it. You're going to have it the whole shoot match. That's what's going to happen. Everybody's right now, they're scared to death about, they keep talking about Russia's going to bomb us. I don't think they're going to, Russia's
going to. No, that's, and Moscow and Beijing aren't in the Bible, but, I was under the impression that I saw in the Bible that Damascus was destroyed, and I was wondering, could it be because when Iran gets this bomb...
It will be destroyed at the end, but I got to go, Glenn, because we're out of time. Okay, Richard, you got about 90 seconds to give us an information. We lost track of the time. 90 seconds, give an invitation.
Yes, I want to just offer an invitation for anyone that's out there that doesn't know the Lord, that isn't really sure where they're going to go when they die. Lord, we would just ask Heavenly Father that they would look for the truth in the Word of God, the precious Word of God, and understand that you need to obey from the heart that form of doctrine that God has given us in the Scriptures, and be obedient to the Word, come to Jesus, accept Him as both Lord and Savior. Many people want a Savior from their problems, but they don't want a Lord of their lives. So we would just say that let that person accept Christ as Lord of their lives, and do what the Scripture says. Start reading your Bible daily and understand what you need to be saved.
All righty. Thank you very much. And, go to the Gospel of John chapter 3. Be a good place to start. We're out of time for tonight, so until tomorrow, good night, God bless, and always, always, let's do it.
Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.